I love on this song, the bridge, it says, every morning mercy will restore me. And even if the world may fall before me, I will proclaim. And that's what we need to do this week, is just proclaim when we go out to vote that Jesus is Lord, and to just let our voices be heard. So let's just worship him this morning and just give him the praise and the glory that he deserves.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen, 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 amen. That's the question. What has God's mercy done for you? What has God's mercy done for you? How many of you have deserved some things that God didn't give you, he saved you from? Scripture says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. But... oh, man. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Mercy, removing the punishment of hell, and the grace of giving us the gift of salvation. Amen. Amen. Would you just go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, times when we've done things that we deserved, Lord, punishment, times when we've done things and the consequences should have been much heavier than they were. And yet, God, you came and surrounded us because we cried out to you. And Lord, we thank you for your grace, the grace that provided eternal life and salvation for each and every one of us in this room. That if anyone here would call out upon you, Lord, that you would come and save them. Lord, we pray and ask right now your presence would be in this place today. May we lift up your name and may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn and greet someone this morning in the house of the Lord. Say, hey, I'm glad you're here today. Amen, amen. I got busy greeting. How many of you greet at least three or four people? Come on now. How many of you ran? Anybody run? Introverts out there? All right. We want to say welcome. Welcome to Noble Assembly of God. If this is your first time here, we'd ask that you would take the card in the seat back in front of you, fill it out, and to give us a record of your attendance, lets us know that you came to visit with us, lets us know that so we can greet you and say, hey, thanks for coming. And we want to say welcome to you. Welcome to everyone today, whether you're here in the house or you're here online. I want to say welcome online. I'm waving at you. So use the little wavy emoji and wave back to me, all right? And I'll check in a little bit, see if you waved at me. And so we've got some announcements this morning. Tonight is girls' night out. The ladies are going to Charleston's restaurant, and you're going to leave the church here at 5 p.m. Leave. If you want to drive yourself, that's fine. If you just want to follow along, or if you want to be in the church van with the ladies, that's great too. And they're going to have a great time of food and fellowship and fun. And so they're going to go over and eat at Charleston's and hang out and have a great time. And so we would love, there's a sign up in the back. So if you think, hey, that's something I want to do, would you put your name down just so my wife, Kelly's waving her hand up here. She's going to lead the outing, and so she'll know that you're coming. She can be looking for you. No, Braylon, you cannot go to girls' night out. So Braylon just heard food. That's all he heard and said, I'm in. So that you don't want to be there. Trust me. We'll go get food somewhere else. And then, hey, how many of you noticed the table in the middle of the foyer? Man, first of all, let me just say this before we even talk about that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Everybody say thank you. That's not enough thank yous, but thank you anyway for helping, whether you brought candy, whether you worked a booth, whether you worked out in the parking lot with Hallelujah Night. Thank you so much for helping. Man, this place was full of kids and adults having food and playing games and just smiling and laughing, and we had a great time. I stood out in the foyer and greeted, or out in the breezeway and greeted people as they came in, and we had people went in. Cakewalks and face painting. Man, it was such a fun evening. Let me tell you something. Pastor and myself, Pastor Chad, we cannot do it without all of you. There's no way that three of us can make that event happen. And so it is a whole church effort, and we want to say thank you for that. And also say that we're moving from Hallelujah Night right into our Christmas outreach that we do at the Oklahoma City Dream Center down in inner city Oklahoma City. If you have never been a part of that, I would encourage you to sign up and volunteer and help us. We'll be serving cookies and hot dogs and nachos and French fries. We have Mr. Randy. Is he here? Mr. Randy is probably cleaning up from the last French fry cook. And so we'll be serving all kinds of food. We pretty much as a church provide the food for the event. And last year there was 1,500 that came, and they are really shooting for 3,000. They made a major shift this year. Every event that they've done this year is double what was last year. And so they're hoping that this event too will be double. And they've made all of their announcements. One of the things they did was, pastors, they made all of their announcements bilingual. And so now everything that they advertise is now in English and in Spanish. And so, and they've seen a huge uptick in being able to minister to people by doing so. And so we're excited about that. You also, as we do every year, can sign up to create a gift or two for kids who may otherwise not get a gift this Christmas season. And there's instructions out there. You can sign up on an age group. Pay attention really closely, because the age groups that they've asked us for have changed. And so you're going to want to look at that. But you can sign up to make a boy gift or a girl gift from a certain age. And then you take a sheet and it tells you exactly kind of the categories of what to do with all of that. So anyway, if you have any questions about that, I'd love to talk to you about it. It is an awesome event. Normally we have 50 or more volunteers that come from our church to go help. And we're believing for the best Christmas for the city. That's what they're calling it now, Christmas for the city, that there's ever been. And so how many of you know that God loves it when we serve others? Amen? Amen. And we as a church have a complete servant heart, and I love that about our church. And so excited about what God's going to do in and through us. I want to ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Man, I am excited to see just what the Lord's going to do in and through us. Excited to see what the Lord's doing as we're raising money for OU Chi Alpha, as we reached out at Halloween, as we reach out at Christmas. I just believe the Lord's going to bless our efforts. Amen. Lord, we pray right now that you would just be with every dollar that's given. Lord, we pray right now that you would just begin to already guide our hearts and our minds with wisdom to know exactly how to effectively use what's given to the kingdom to reach those so that they would come to know you. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
morning, we just come to you. We know we are standing in faith, believing that we will see a victory in the things that are in our lives, whether it may be a physical need or a financial need, Lord. We know that you have never lost a battle and that you are going to come through, because there's not a God like you. You are the only God. You are the God of gods and the Lord of lords. And we magnify and lift your name up high today, for you are worthy of our praise. And you shatter rocks with a whisper. You hang the stars with your hand. Your word is infinite wisdom. And your higher than men's. Seasons obey your commandments. Your thunder puts armies to flight. And no one can fathom your power. Your voice is a wellspring of life. There is none. We just glorify your name.
you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We give you worship this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy of all glory and honor and power. Father, we pray that you would be with Larry Newell this morning, his wife Pam, both needing a touch in their bodies. Just bring healing to Larry, we pray. For Deborah Rowland, we continue to lift her up to you. We pray that you would just touch her and minister to her right now. Father, we pray for Zach Kerbo, that you would touch him today. Pray that you would touch Rendy's mom, Sister Hodges. I ask that you would just be with her there in the hospital. Father, we pray for the elections on Tuesday. We just pray, Lord, that your hand would guide us as we cast our vote for leaders in our country. Father, we pray, as today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted for their faith. We just pray that you would strengthen them, that you would comfort them, that you would encourage them. Father God, we just pray your kingdom come and your will be done today in this service. Minister to every single person, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. As Pastor Phil said earlier, thank you for all those who help with Hallelujah Night. I also want to say a huge thank you to everyone for your expressions of appreciation to us and as the pastors for Pastor Appreciation last month, all of the gifts and cards and the food. It was just wonderful. Thank you for being such a wonderful church family. Amen. Title of the message this morning is Jesus, Our Great Example. As we are looking at the book of Mark, we've been going verse by verse through the book of Mark for the last few weeks in the series called Remarkable. And so today we are going to begin at verse 35 through verse 39. It says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. But Jesus replied, we must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came. So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord, as we look into this message, as we look into the truths that you want us to understand and apply to our hearts and lives. I pray that you would just give us open ears and open hearts this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Jesus has not stopped since he began his public ministry. Following his baptism by John and his 40 days of fasting and prayer and temptations in the wilderness, he has been busy. Everybody say busy. He has been busy preaching and teaching and casting out demons and healing the sick, demonstrating the good news of the kingdom of God. That's all he's been doing for the last several days as we're looking here in the book of Mark. He's also called some fishermen, I should say former fishermen, who are now his disciples, and they are learning how to fish for people instead of for fish. And Jesus, as we'll see later, goes on to call some other disciples to be his followers in the original 12, but he has been giving some good lessons to these former fishermen as to how to catch men, as to how to preach and how to teach. As we looked at last week, in one day, he teaches in the synagogue to the amazement of everybody there. He delivers a man from an evil spirit who is there at the synagogue.
He heals Peter's mother-in-law when they went over there after church, and she gets up and fixes them a wonderful meal after she's gotten well. And then that evening, all the sick and the demon-possessed come and crowd around her house. In fact, the whole town, it says, showed up. And he casts out demons, and he heals many, many people all in one day. The whole town is amazed. The whole town is just in bewilderment as to what kind of teaching and preaching is going on here. I'm so glad the Lord hasn't changed, amen? I'm so glad that he still amazes people. He still saves. He still heals. He still ministers to people's needs. They're amazed at his authority, and they want to see and hear even more. And so that's where we begin the message today in verse 35. The first point of the message this morning is the language of heaven. The language of heaven. One of the first things Jesus, our great example, wanted to establish for us was the language of heaven. And the language of heaven is none other than prayer. Prayer. The way we communicate with God. The way that we get our instructions from God, the way that we are guided, the way that we are comforted, the way that we are led in as to what to do and what to say on a daily basis. When I was in high school, I took Spanish. I wanted to learn how to speak Spanish, plus I had to have that to go on to college where I was going to go, required 2 years of foreign language, and so I took 2 years of Spanish. I don't know that it paid off much. I know a few words. You know, I can do hola and como está and como se llama, where are you, or something like, or where do you live? No, I don't even remember. Probably 2 years of wasted time because I don't remember a whole lot. So I didn't do so well learning a second language. And I'm really endeavoring to learn another language, and that is the language of heaven of how to pray. And that is definitely a language that we need to see as an absolute necessity to learn. We need to be people of prayer. We need to learn the language of heaven, of spending time in the presence of God, spending time sitting at his feet. You see, the secret to everything that Jesus did that we just talked about in one day and for many days to follow as he was ministering on this earth, the secret as to why he was able to do what he did is found in verse 35, where it says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. That was the secret of his power. The source of his power, of his anointing to preach, to teach, to deliver, to heal, was his connection to his Father in heaven. You might say it was his lifeline. You say, I thought Jesus could do all those things because he was Jesus. May I remind you that Philippians 2 says that he emptied himself of all of his power when he came down to this earth to become the Lamb of God and to teach us and to lead us and to show us how to live. He depended upon the Holy Spirit just like we have to depend on the Holy Spirit. He didn't have that power innate in him because he emptied himself of that. He laid aside that power. Now, he was perfectly moral. He was perfect in every other way in his character, but as far as his power, he laid that aside, and that demonstrates to us as believers, we need that power and that anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes by accessing our lifeline to heaven, the language of heaven, and that is prayer. We must pray so that we can minister and do what we do, so that we can lead our family, so that we can be the servant of God that God wants us to be. The only way Jesus could continue day in and day out to do God's will and minister to the people was to get up and go and find a place to pray. He had to find a time and a place to speak the language of heaven. Jesus drew strength and assurance and power through prayer, just as we will do. Dr. George Wood, in his book Fearless, says this: if Jesus found it necessary to spend time alone in prayer, how much more do we? So true, huh? How many things get left undone because we fail to get the guidance and the energy in prayer? How many souls are left groping in the darkness because the church members fail in prayer? Dr. Wood also said this, and I believe this is beyond the screen: Jesus knew he could not function effectively unless he prayed, and neither can we. We can't pray. I mean, we can't function effectively unless we pray. We need to find time and make time, set a time to get down on our knees and speak the language of heaven every day. In his book, he mentions a seminary professor of his, Harold Lenzel. I'm talking about George Wood's seminary professor, said this about prayer, and I thought this was really interesting. It says, God cannot do some things unless we work. He stores the hills with marble, but he has never built a cathedral. He fills the mountains with iron ore, but he never makes a needle or a jet airplane. He leaves that to us. If then God has left many things dependent on man's thinking and working, why should he not leave some things dependent upon man's praying? He has done so. Ask and you shall receive. And there are some things God will not give us unless we ask. We cannot suppose that God will do for us without prayer what he has promised to do for us only through prayer. Let me read that last part again. We cannot suppose that God will do for us without prayer what he promised to do for us only through prayer. In other words, there's going to be some things that God wants to do that the only way they're going to get done is if we pray it into being. Is if we go to him and ask and seek and knock. Otherwise, it will remain undone. So Jesus wants his body, his church, our great example, to speak the language of heaven. And he constantly showed us the importance of coming in to God's presence and seeking the Lord. Jesus constantly went aside to pray. He would go into the mountains and he would pray. He would leave the disciples, and sometimes he would take them with him to go and pray. Over and over again, regardless of how busy he was, he took time to get alone with his heavenly Father. And we must do the same, amen? I said we must do the same, amen? Satan will fight you on this for sure. I know he does me. He will fight you tooth and nail to keep you from praying. Satan does not want you to pray. When you get up in the morning and you know that you need to spend some time in prayer, you're going to think of a million other things that you ought to be doing. And Satan's going to bring them to mind. But God says, I want you to come and be with me. I want you to spend time with me. Take some time to sit and talk with me and speak my language and let me speak to you and let me talk to you and let me tell you some things. Do you know God wants to tell us some things? That the only way we will get those is not only in his word, but I'm just talking about speaking what they call a rhema word, a word for the moment. A word that yes, we're thankful for all the word of God, but a word that you need in a moment there of what's happening. Maybe a word of wisdom, maybe a word of knowledge the Holy Spirit will bring to mind, that you would never get that unless you were in a place of prayer. I think Satan sometimes is more of a believer in the power of effectual, fervent prayer than many believers. He believes in prayer more than we do because he knows that when a Christian faithfully prays, he will be defeated. Satan knows he can't match God. He knows that he is no match for God, and that when we get on our knees and we pray and we speak the language of heaven, Satan knows he is in trouble. He does not want us speaking that kind of language. He knows he will be defeated. Robert Duran of Bethany Fellowship Mission writes of his return to one mission station he had been to. Let me just read this. As our horses carefully picked their way along the rock-strewn path, finally, after 2 hours of travel by truck and 8 hours on horses, we could discern the outlines of the small village in Mexico. We looked towards seeing friends we had made in this remote village during 3 years of visits, most of all, Pastor Alfredo. First to notice our arrival, the dogs and children loudly brought the news to all those indoors. The people there are shy, but one woman, Maria Teresa, beckoned us to her door. Her husband, Santo, was sick and wanted to see us. Their low-walled, thatch-roofed house was built of stone with no windows. Santo lay on a bed made of blankets, which hardly raised him off the dirt floor. He greeted us weakly and was caught by a spasm of coughing. The first time we had met Santo 3 years earlier, a villager had led us to him, who was one of their most feared witch doctors. Santo was a witch doctor. Before we could introduce ourselves, he shook my hand and said, "Robert, I have been waiting for your visit." Surprised, I asked, "How did you know my name?" His reply was, "The guiding spirits left me yesterday. They told of your coming that they could not stay while you were in the village." Well, that's a powerful testimony, huh? The devil could not stay because you're in the village. Now, after many visits to the village and to Santo's home, 18 people had become followers of Jesus Christ. Today, Santo was happy to see us and he wanted to talk. "Allow me to pray that I might receive Jesus Christ and follow him," we heard him say. Joyfully, we asked if he was willing to confess his sins and receive Christ as Savior. He nodded. Three times I began a prayer, but Santo could not get the words out of his mouth. Finally, after we commanded demonic spirits to leave his body, Santo was able to pray. Just 3 months later, Santo's wife told us that one morning Santo had risen from his sleeping mat and asked for food. She made him tortillas, and as he ate, he told neighbors gathered in his house, "This is my last meal. Tonight, Pastor Roberto's God is coming to take me to his house." That night, he passed into eternity, a Christian saved and transformed by God's grace. The kingdom of God is greater than the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Always, the devil loses when we pray. When we have God in our midst and on our side. Even when others are looking for us, as they were for Jesus, let us not cancel the greatest appointment of all, our appointment with God. You know, that's what the disciples, they were looking. They said, "People are trying to find you." And when they found him, where did they find him? In a place of prayer. If people went looking for us, would they ever find us in a place of prayer? If suddenly people couldn't find us and they did find us, would they find us in a place of prayer? I think I remember Carol talking about her mom one time. Is that right, Carol? You're talking about your mom. They couldn't find her, and all the kids were looking over the house. And finally, when they did find her, she was in the bedroom praying. Oh, there's mom. She's on her knees. What a witness. Reminds me of that painting by, what's his name? Cieni. What's his first name? Ron DeCiani. Thank you. Ron DeCiani has all these portraits that he paints. Several of them are in various churches at the General Council in Springfield. It's a modern day look but relating an Old Testament reality or a New Testament reality. But one painting is you can see a...
I wish I had a picture of it. It shows the crack of a door. And it shows a mother on her knees praying. And what you see on the shadow of the door is the pigtails of a little girl. How many of you have seen that painting? You know what I'm talking about. Anybody seen it?
Look it up. Ron DeCiani. Don't look it up right now. Look it up later when you get home. He's got Ron DeCiani, lots of painting, Christian artist. But that picture is just so powerful.
Made me think of it when I read that. If people were looking for us, would they find us in a place of prayer?
Our victory depends on it, amen? Much like Aaron and Hur, as they held up the arms of Moses, our victory depends on prayer. Not only our victory, but more importantly, the victory of others. So first of all, we see in these verses the language of heaven from our great example, Jesus. In the next few verses, we see the second point of the message, the lifetime vocation. Vocation, not vacation. Lifetime vocation we see in verse 38 and 39 where after they find Jesus and they tell him everyone's looking for him, it says, but Jesus replied, we must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came. So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. So in these two verses, we are reminded of our main purpose or calling. Jesus reminded the disciples of his calling to go and to preach to other towns and other places. And he reminded the disciples that their calling too. Their calling was to go. Verse 38, Jesus replied, we must go. We must go. The first two letters of the word gospel is go, G-O. The first two letters of the word good news is G-O. We must go. We must be willing to go to other people. Go to other towns, so to speak. Jesus says, that is why I came. Now, you may be a teacher. Any teachers? Raise your hand if you're a teacher. Several teachers. All right. You may be a carpenter. Any carpenters in the house? All right. You may be a mechanic. Any mechanics? You may be a truck driver. Any truck driver? All right. Several truck drivers. You may be a doctor. Any doctors? A nurse. All right. We could go on through all kinds of occupations. You may be those things, and that's what you do to earn a living. And we're thankful for what you do to earn a living because that is commendable for you to take care of your family and do what you have to do to teach people, to touch people, to minister, to serve, to whatever you do in this world and to take care of your family. But your number one vocation is to go and be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your number one vocation. That's your number one calling. Your ministry is to be a witness. What you do for a living just supports your ministry. We're all ministers. We are witnesses in word and deed and by supporting missionaries around the world like we do. Your community, where you live, where you work, needs God's presence. Does the place where you work need God's presence? Does the place where you live need God's presence, your neighborhood? Do the places you go to and shop and the places you go to for your kids or whatever, or your wherever you go, do people need God's presence? Absolutely. As a Christian, when you show up, the Lord Jesus should show up with you. Amen. Just like when those demons in that story I read to you, we have to leave because the pastor's coming. Brother Roberto's coming and we can't be here when he's here. On the opposite end, but when we come in the door, may Jesus come in with us. When you go to your job, may Jesus go with you, or to your school in your neighborhood. Why is that possible? Because you are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. So ask the Lord to help you bring Jesus to where you live, to bring Jesus to where you work, to bring Jesus to where you go to school. Why? Because there is somebody who is deeply loved by God, yet deeply lost in sin, that needs a Savior. Deeply loved, but deeply lost. You may be the only Jesus they see. You may be the only Bible they read. As Jesus told the disciples, we have to go to other towns as well. We have to go to other places. We just can't stay in this building and keep our little church right here. We're just as much the church of the living God when we're scattered and we go places as when we are here in this service. Noble Assembly of God goes to all parts of Norman, Noble, Slaughterville, Purcell, Oklahoma City, wherever you live. That's where the church goes, is where you go. Amen? The church is not a building. The church is people. And Jesus wants us to go out. There's always a temptation to just get stuck in our own lives, to get kind of stuck in our own world, in our own comfort zone. But that is not what pleases the Lord. That is not what reaches other people. Our communities, where we go, need us. As the church, as believers, as Christians, as people who bring the presence of God with us. Our communities, those places where we hang out, whether it's our job or our home or wherever, those other towns need Jesus. May we be willing to travel not so much to other places geographically, but to travel out of our own worlds, travel out of our comfort zones to make a difference in someone else's world. It's tempting, you know, like the disciples when they went up on the mountaintop with Jesus, Peter and John said, can we just stay right here with you? Can we just build three tabernacles and let's just stay here and have church? And Jesus said, no, we must go down the mountain because there's people that need us down the mountain. There's people that need us out there in Noble, in Norman, wherever we go. May we be willing to travel as Jesus told these disciples. Guys, we've got to go to other places. We just can't stay here in Capernaum. Man, they was having all kinds of revival there. People were getting healed and sick. The whole town was showing up. They could have just stayed there and said, well, let's just stay right here. Things are good. People are getting saved. The whole town is turned upside down. And Jesus said, well, I'm thankful for that, but we got to go other places. There's always somebody else that needs Jesus. There's always some other people in another place that need the hand of Jesus to touch them and lift them out of the darkness and into the light, to bring healing to their family, to change their destiny, to change the trajectory of a family that maybe was going this way because somebody comes in and shares the gospel and gives them the light of the gospel. Their family's changed and it's going in a whole other direction now. We as believers have a lifetime vocation, a lifetime mission to serve the Lord in our generation for such a time as this. You were born when you were born, where you were born, because God needed you in this generation. I used to think it'd really been cool to be born back in the Western days and rode a horse. Had a gun and a cowboy hat. I mean, I wish I'd have been born in 1825. Yeah, it was really nice then. It was hard work. Well, I used to think it'd been cool to have been a cowboy. But you know what? God didn't need Steve Lance to be a cowboy. God needed Steve Lance to be born in 1961 to be alive in this generation. And he needs you in whatever time you were born. God needed you then, and that's why you were born then. We follow the example of Jesus when we move out of our comfort zones and we go to reach others. He first tells us, of course, as we started out, the example is you're not going to do a very good job of leaving your comfort zone and going to some other town, so to speak, some other community, if you haven't prayed first. Prayer is a starting place. That's why Satan fights us so hard to pray. I want to share with you an excerpt of a message that it's from John Piper. How many of you have ever heard of John Piper? Some of you have. John Piper is a theologian and founder and teacher of desiringgod.org. If you ever want to go there, he has some good stuff. What I'm going to read to you is pretty intense, but it really bears us thinking about it. And since I read it, I haven't gotten it out of my mind. Remember, we're talking about making a difference. Jesus is our great example. He prayed. His lifetime vocation and mission was to meet and touch and treat and teach and preach and deliver people and minister to people. And as followers of Christ, that should be our calling and our mission is to pray, speak the language of heaven, we've called it today, and go on the lifetime vocation of saying, Lord, I want my life to count for you. And so I share this illustration in that context of prayer and of being the hand of God and the hand extended to others. So this excerpt is from a message called Boasting Only in the Cross by John Piper. It was spoken at a gathering of 40,000 students at a Passion One Day conference on May the 20th, 2000. So that's the context of what this message is going to. Imagine 40,000 students at a Passion One Day conference. John Piper spoke this message, and I'm going to read just the excerpt of the message that he spoke on that day. Here's what he said. You don't have to know a lot of things in order to make a huge difference for the Lord in the world, but you do need to know a few things that are great and be willing to live for them and die for them. People that make a difference in the world are people that make a difference in the world are not people who have mastered a lot of things. They are people who have been mastered by a very few things that are very, very great. If you want your life to count, you don't have to have a high IQ and you don't have to have a high EQ. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to have good looks. You don't have to be from a good family or from a good school. You just have to know a few basic, simple, glorious, majestic, obvious, unchanging, eternal things and be gripped by them. And be willing to lay down your life for them. Which is why anybody in this crowd can make a worldwide difference. Because it isn't you, it's what you are gripped with. One of the really sad things about this moment right now is that there are hundreds of you in the crowd, in this crowd, who do not want your life to make a difference. All you want is to be liked. Maybe finish school, get a good job, find a husband or a wife, a nice home, a nice car, good vacations, grow old, be healthy, have a fun retirement, die easy, and no hell. And that is all you want. And you don't give a rip whether your life counts on this earth for eternity. And that is a tragedy in the making. That is a tragedy in the making. He goes on to say, 3 weeks ago, we got news at our church that Ruby Eliasson and Laura Edwards were killed in Cameroon. Ruby Eliasson, over 80, single all her life, a nurse, poured her life out for one thing, to make Jesus Christ known among the sick and the poor in the hardest and most unreached places. Laura Edwards, a medical doctor in the Twin Cities and then in retirement, partnering up with Ruby, also pushing 80, and going from village to village in Cameroon. The brakes give way, over the cliff they go, and they are dead instantly. And I asked my people, is this a tragedy? Two women in their 80s, a whole life devoted to one idea, Jesus Christ magnified among the poor and the sick in the hardest places, and 20 years after most of their American counterparts have begun to throw their lives away on trivialities in Florida and New Mexico, fly into eternity with death in a moment, is this a tragedy? It is not a tragedy. I will read to you, he goes on to say, what a tragedy is. I've got a little article here from Reader's Digest. He says, you don't read Reader's Digest. He's talking to 40,000 students, remember. You don't read Reader's Digest, I know, but there's a generation who does. This is a tragedy. The title of the article, Start Now, Retire Early, is from February 1998. Here's what was in Reader's Digest. Bob and Penny took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. He says that is a tragedy. He says that is a tragedy, and there are people in this country that are spending billions of dollars to get you to buy it. And I get 40 minutes to plead with you, don't buy it. With all my heart, I plead with you, don't buy that dream. The American dream, a nice house, a nice car, a nice job, a nice family, a nice retirement, collecting shells as the last chapter before you stand before the creator of the universe to give an account with what you did. Here it is, Lord, my shell collection. Look, Lord, my shell collection. And I've got a good swing. And look at my boat, God, look at my boat. Well, not for Ruby and not for Laura. Don't waste your life. Don't waste it. Powerful. Our calling is to make our lives count. Like I said, I know that's pretty heavy. And I know God has different assignments for different people. Not everybody's called to go to Cameroon and give their life on the mission field. But still, the principle is the same. Live our life for God's glory. Don't sit around collecting seashells. Jesus said we've got to go to other towns and preach to them too. That's why I came. And that's why we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, to pray and to obey and make a difference in this world. Jesus, our great example, proved to us, he showed us, he teaches us, and he wills for us, first of all, to pray, and then second of all, obey by making our lives count for the good of those around us and for the glory of God. Amen. For good and for the glory of God. Lord, I pray that you help us to evaluate our lives. I pray that you help us to realize that we have only one life. It will soon be past. Only what's done for you will last. I pray, Lord, that you help us be people of prayer. And I know the devil fights us so hard on that, Lord. He fought you. Help us to be people of prayer. Help us to be people of service. Getting out of our comfort zones and going to other towns, so to speak, to preach, to be a witness to other people who, unless Jesus comes into their heart before they die, they will spend eternity in hell. Help us, Lord, as your servants, to make our days count, to make our life count for your good, and for their good, and for your glory, not our own. Lord, in just a moment, we're going to come to the table of communion. We're going to come and we're going to remember all the wonderful things that you did for us. We're going to remember how you died on the cross and how your body was ripped and torn and stabbed and beat, and how your blood poured out of your body for our sins. Lord, we're so thankful. And Lord, we want to examine ourselves, as you say in the word, before we partake in this communion time. We need to examine ourselves and say, Lord, is there anything in me, in my heart, that's standing in the way of what you want to do in my heart? Is there anything standing in our relationship, Lord, that is not right? Forgive me, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, as we come to the table. Cleanse us, Lord, as we come to the table. And Lord, once we've come to the table, I pray that you would help us to commit ourselves to being people of prayer and people of action. People of prayer and people that live for your glory and for the good of others. Lord, that's our prayer today. I pray that everyone in here today, Lord, take serious your call. Your call to be people of prayer and speak in that heavenly language and be people who take serious that lifetime vocation of being your witness, just as you did, Lord. We thank you, God. Cleanse us today, we pray. Point us in a new direction. Give us a new heart for your will, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I ask the team if they would come, and they're going to lead us. They're going to sing a song as we are going into our communion service. I would ask this morning, as you come to receive communion, that you just find a place to pray. Commit your life to the Lord all over again. Say, Lord, here am I. Use me, Lord, in this generation. Father God, help me to be the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that you've called me to be. Lord, I lay my life down for you. Would you come forward and just receive the communion on your own? You don't have to wait on us, but find a place to pray. Commit your life and your heart to the Lord as you remember what he has done for you. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord.
My cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forever. You deserve
Lift your hands and give the Lord praise. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you today. You are worthy. You are worthy of our lives. You are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of our time in your presence on our knees, Lord. You are worthy of us going to other places and out of our comfort zones. You are worthy, Lord, of our lives. Even if we lay them down, Father God, in the course of ministry, Lord, we know that we will hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, may we all strive to be those kind of Christian people that hear you say, well done, and whatever thing, whatever we do, wherever we go, wherever we serve, the people you bring across our path, Lord, let us be witnesses of your goodness, of your grace, and of your mercy. Lord, just go with us as we leave this place today, Lord. Keep your hand upon us, we pray. Hallelujah. We're just going to remain in an attitude of prayer. You can leave when you want to, but if you musicians, go ahead and play, Don. There's still some people praying. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. You're worthy of it all.